I want to be very brief this morning, but I'd like to turn your attention to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Every time I read this psalm, my mind is turned to Psalm 137, which is, I believe, a companion psalm, when it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we wept when we remembered Zion. But now in Psalm 126, Babylon is no longer the conquering nation over Israel. They have now been conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. And God, in the book of Isaiah, names out their future king long before he would be born. His name is Cyrus, and says he's my elect, meaning he's the one I have chosen to deliver my people. And so we find that when he takes the throne, he pronounces an edict, a decree, that the children of Israel would be allowed to return to their homeland, rebuild their temple, rebuild their city, rebuild their nation. And so we find here in the beginning of this psalm, it's called a Song of Degrees. There's 15 songs with this title. And so it is thought that the Israelites, as they would journey up to Jerusalem annually for the feast of the Passover, they would sing these songs as they would journey up together in great caravans of people. And so it says that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, when we were set free, it says we were like them that dream. In other words, what the psalmist here is saying is we couldn't really hardly believe it. We kept thinking this dream was going to end. We were going to wake up and it wouldn't be true. But then it says, then when they noticed the reality of it, was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. So much so, it says, then said they among the heathen, those who were pagan worshipers, notice what they said. The Lord had done great things for them. What initiated the heathen to say such a thing? The heathen heard, their mouths filled with laughter, and their tongues with singing. It reminds me in the book of Nehemiah chapter 12, when the walls have been rebuilt, the temple has long been rebuilt, we find that Ezra has taught the people the law of God, things are finally back in order like they're supposed to be, and the porters are there, the singers are there, and the people are on the walls of Zion, and they began to sing in Israel. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 12, verse 43, I believe it is, that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Not just the singing of Jerusalem, but actually the joy, the content of what they were singing was heard in a distant place. All too often, I fear that if somebody had to testify of what I have said and what my demeanor has been, they would say, well, the noise of his murmuring and the noise of his complaining has been heard afar off. How much better would it be if someone would say of you or of me, I heard the joy of his singing and his laughter afar off. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Peter that we're to be ready to give answer to every man. Now, the context there, I know it's often used for evangelism, but that's not really the context of what Peter is there describing. He's really talking about persecution. He says, but let every man be ready. We're always to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's within us with fear and trembling. Even in the moment that we're brought perhaps before a persecutor, there ought to be hope within us, and we are able and ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. So here it says, the Lord had done great things for them. Now, it's wonderful when others could look at us and say, the Lord's blessed them. The Lord has been good to them. But how much better when we can say ourselves from our own heart, from our own feelings, From my own experience, like they said in verse 3, the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I've never been bound in a nation that was not my own. I've never been literally so, in the sense that another a nation came and conquered me. There's times when we go on these cruises that we're in foreign lands, and we've never bought a passport to do that. We do so trusting to our birth certificate, but there have been times that I won't go into the interior of those nations because I just don't trust that I'll be able to get back home. In another way, I am bound as a foreigner in this world, and so are you. And there's times we're also bound by our own sin and bound by our own regrets and bound by our own sorrow and bound by our own sorrow over our sins. But what a blessing when the Lord turns that captivity, when the Lord in his mercy and his grace assures us in our own heart that has been forever forgiven under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe we can apply what they experienced here in Psalm 126 to our own experience, not only when we understand the gospel of our salvation, but also in daily experiences when we do sin and we come before God and we confess that sin and we do so honestly and sincerely. And then the Lord in his mercy and in his compassion says to us, child, you are forgiven. That's a wonderful blessing. That turns again our captivity. At least under the bondage of that moment, we now feel free. And we can go on, like it says in verse 3, and say, the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4, though, reminds us there's still some sorrow. They say, turn again our captivity, O Lord. Well, didn't he already? Well, as you read the history of the children of Israel, not all the Israelites left the bondage that they were in. Some chose to stay. Like we've talked about Nehemiah, for whatever reason, he and his family had chosen to stay behind instead of going home. And so here, there are these in Israel. They've rebuilt their temple. Don't know that the walls have yet been rebuilt, but they understand that here we are laboring in the building of God's kingdom. At that time, it was a natural kingdom. It was the nation of Israel, the elect people, the visible people of God were the children of Israel. Of course, we know now that the people of God are not a visible people in the sense of a one nation. I know there's a lot of people that like to think that the United States of America is modern-day elect Israel. It is not. It's simply another nation that has existed in human history under the blessing of God, no doubt. But at the same time, we can't always apply the very same principles to the United States of America that could be applied to Israel in Old Testament times. But we do know that God has an elect people. We know God that has a chosen people that were chosen by him before this world began, and Jesus Christ redeemed each and every one of them at Calvary, and every single one of them without the loss of one, because of the power of the Holy Ghost, shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ at the last day. We know that truth. But here we see that it says, turn again our captivity. What does he mean? The writer here is saying, Lord, the work is not fully done. We haven't seen all of our fellow citizens return home yet. We haven't seen everybody back in the place where they belong. Not everybody is united where they ought to be. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. What does he mean by the stream? He's talking about southern Judah, which was a very parched area. And what the writer is saying, Lord, please, bring our people home just as though you would open up streams to water a very parched ground. Then he says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Notice the shall here. They that sow in tears. This is a sowing and a reaping. The Bible assures us that once there's a sowing here, there shall be a reaping. He says, it shall happen. They that sow in tears, those who are troubled because we're not home, those who are troubled because of our sin, those who are troubled because we live in a fallen world, he says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The word there, precious seed, literally means very few of. But he says, this man that goes bearing precious seed, but also goes forth weeping, but at the same time sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So this man that goes forth with precious, meaning very costly and rare seed, shall come back, though, with very great plenty. And there is coming that day when the Lord will turn again our captivity as a whole. I'll never, as long as I'm in my right mind, I think anyway, I'll never forget standing right out here in our cemetery at Brother Garland Sr.'s funeral. Elder David Crawford was preaching from the book of Revelation. And he talked about John the Apostle. And in that comment he makes, he beheld and there was no more sea. And Brother David made this application, which I had never heard, but I immediately embraced as I believe that's what the Bible is meaning there. Here is John on Patmos, who literally could see over to the shore. And who's over on the other shore? Fellow believers that he could not reach. They were out of his distance of being together, but yet he could see. And for you and I, there are many in glory just out of reach. Glory itself is just out of reach. Jesus himself and being physically in his presence is just out of reach. But by faith, it's like we're on that deserted island, just a rock in the Mediterranean, and we can put our hand over our eyes and look across and see in the distant shoreline the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints of God who are there together. There's coming a day that the Lord will turn again our captivity as the streams in the south, and the parched desert will be parched no more because we'll be in the presence of the Lord and all the saints of God. We'll finally all be together. There'll be no more separation, no more sea to divide those who are there and those who are here. So again, he says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. We just couldn't hardly believe it was true. But then when we realized it, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues was singing, so much so that the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. Let us live our experience as best we can, showing by the way we speak and the words we speak and the joy in our hearts that even the wicked of this world would have to confess their God has done great things for them. May God bless you, is our prayer.